What we've done is assembled a group of some of the most talented people from New York, the stars of several different Broadway shows, some of whom have taken leaves of absence from the shows that they're currently performing in to come and do this for a few months, both because they love the show and they love the roles. And we are very fortunate to have a company that's kind of like an all-star team, Broadway-wise.
So what has to happen now, as you and I are here in the theater on Tuesday, what has to happen between now and Saturday afternoon?
This is called Tech Week, and Tech Week is sometimes 3 weeks, and sometimes, when you're less fortunate and a lot more stressed, 3 days. And here we fall somewhere in between. So you have a number of days where you work 15 to 18 hours per day. It's not unlike doing a movie shoot or something, where you're setting up all of the technical elements of the show. So every time something moves on stage, every time a light changes, a piece of scenery moves, some fog is emitted, that is controlled by a computer. So what we do is we identify each change of light, each change of atmosphere, each change of set, and program it into the various computers that have to be aware of it. And those include the people backstage, the stage manager who manages all the people backstage, all the lighting units in the front of house, and everything that's underneath the stage, the electronics. So it's a lengthy process, but in the end, you've got them all programmed into your computer, and you have probably something approaching 1,000 cues in there in which all of the elements combine to make a little bit of magic happen. It's pretty impressive. So although what you're seeing on stage looks simple and effortless, a lot of planning goes into making all of those things happen at the same time.
This is a tour. This will be a tour. After you've done Tech Week and you've done the Saturday performances here, then you roll on. Does it help, hinder, or is it a win-lose situation that everyone's someplace where they don't live for Tech Week?
It probably helps because there are no outside distractions. However, it's always nice to sleep in your own bed, but those of us who work in the entertainment industry are familiar with not sleeping in their own beds. I have to say, it's being out of town does afford you a singularity of focus that is rare, particularly if you live in New York or L.A., which most of us do. So it's fun to be able to put your iPhone or BlackBerry down and feel confident that people understand, based on your Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social media pages, that you are not in town and that you're pretty much underwater for the next week doing this. And it's actually a joy to just focus on one thing and be myopic by choice.
As a director, does it make any difference in preparation for you if you're directing something that is well-known or established, like Guys and Dolls, where you have Nathan Detroit and these standards of people, or Jacques Brel that you've directed, as opposed to something that is pretty much a new work? Does that make any difference to you?
Yes, it does. There's certainly, you have to consider what the audience expectations are going to be coming in. It's always important to be able to satisfy and exceed expectations for an audience, so you know that when they're coming to Guys and Dolls, they want to have a good time, and they want to laugh, and they want to be entertained, glorious song, and so we know we have to give that to them. If we can also move people a little bit and make them think just a little bit and give them an even better time than they ever could have imagined, then that's fantastic. Certainly these characters also carry a great deal of familiarity and, in fact, a legacy. Nathan Detroit, the imprint on that character by Sam Levine, and then later Nathan Lane, is tremendous. And we happen to have found an actor who starred on Broadway in Spamalot and The Farnsworth Invention, and he was just in Peter and the Starcatchers for Disney. He's a fantastically talented actor who just gets it. It's in his bones. And the same thing for Adelaide. Everybody adores Adelaide, the kind of New York broad whose heart is breaking because she's been engaged for 14 years. And Megan Sikora, who is taking a leave of absence from doing How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying on Broadway with Daniel Radcliffe, just understands this woman in a way that is hilarious and also kind of heartbreaking. And it's a joy to watch performers right from Broadway at the top of their form.
Gordon, what do you get out of directing? I mean, there have to be times when there's tension. There's, you know, your stomach is in knots, especially if you've got to get the costumes and the sets and the cast. Everyone's got to arrive, and you've got somewhat of an abbreviated schedule. What do you get out of it? What do you like about directing?
Oh, so much. I equate it to telling a good joke. You know, the joy and the gratification that comes from you shaping, crafting a good story, because it takes a few tellings to like make it good, and you start to realize, I got to edit this out. It's funnier if I say it like this. That's what it's like to direct a show on a big scale. You're telling a story, and watching an audience respond is so exciting. We're kind of selling a drug, and the drug makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. That's the thing about musical theater. And when it works, there is nothing as powerful. When it doesn't work, it's, you know, you want to change the channel. But the joy of doing this is that you can continually tinker until it works, until the hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Comedians are well known when they get together about parsing their craft down to the beat between the setup and the punchline. Theater people do the same?
Absolutely. We talk about it incessantly. What makes something funny? The difference between a word, putting a word in, taking a word out. We did, in our last run-through in the rehearsal room in New York, Joe Sullivan Lesser came, who's the widow of Frank Lesser, and has seen probably upwards of 1,000 productions of Guys and Dolls worldwide. And she caught some very specific moments that I hadn't even gotten to yet. For example, there's a moment in Act Two, just before they go to the crap game, which is taking place in a sewer. And Skye says to Nicely, which way is the crap game? And Nicely says, this way, music. And he's pointing down towards the sewer. And R. Nicely at that point said, it's this way. And she said that the word it's is not in that sentence. If the word it's is in that sentence, it's less funny. And she was right. She was absolutely right. And that's the kind of thing that I am a stickler for normally. But when usually that takes a couple of run-throughs to get to, because you're dealing with, you know, the low-hanging fruit, as it were.